Welcome to 40A&M in 5, a download of 40A&M LLC, recorded at 2200 Eastern on Sunday, May 26. I'm Chris Bohm with a selection of tech sector and related global news and policy highlights from the past week. In observance of Memorial Day in the U.S., we are coming to you one day later this week. Coming up, Apple CEO Tim Cook testifies at a U.S. Senate hearing on tax issues. The Motion Picture Association takes on online anti-piracy actions in the UK. The U.S. Trade Representative will host public meetings in Washington this week on potential EU-U.S. trade negotiations. The European Commission launches a public consultation on a way forward for both traditional and online broadcasting. Japan SoftBank is expected to have a Sprint board member approved by the U.S. if SoftBank's acquisition of Sprint is approved. And News Corp announces plans to divide its publications and movie and television businesses into two separate entities. But first, on Monday, May 20th, Yahoo formally announced its acquisition of the Tumblr blogging platform for $1.1 billion, a deal that Yahoo believes will boost its revenue as early as 2014. In a public memo, Yahoo CEO Marissa Mayer pledged that the Tumblr entity would be kept independent, saying that Yahoo promised not to screw it up. The easy wording of the memo was reportedly echoed in a message sent by David Karp, Tumblr's 26-year-old founder, in which he praised the deal but also said, "We're not turning purple," referencing Yahoo's corporate color. According to Yahoo, the combination of the Tumblr and Yahoo is expected to grow Yahoo's audience by 50% to more than a billion monthly visitors and to grow traffic by approximately 20%. The deal, which is reportedly almost all in cash, is expected to complete in the second half of 2013, and it is expected that Mr. Karp will remain Tumblr's chief executive. According to its current site, Tumblr boasts 108 million blogs hosted and a total of 50.7 billion posts. Yahoo has said that Tumblr has more than 300 million monthly unique visitors and 120,000 signups every day, 900 posts a second, and roughly 24 billion minutes spent on the site every month. On mobile, more than half of Tumblr's visitors are using its mobile app for an average of 7 sessions a day. The combination of blogging and social networking elements and a simple design has been Tumblr's calling card and the reason cited by many for its rapid rise. Yahoo CEO Marissa Mayer said that the company would not place ads on Tumblr's blogger sites without their permission or go heavy with Yahoo corporate branding, which is seen by many as a move designed to appease even the most skeptical users. Mayer added that the hope is for Yahoo to now work with Tumblr to create ads that are seamless and enhance the user experience. In a parallel move announced last week, Yahoo has redesigned its Flickr photo sharing service, giving users up to 1 terabyte of storage without a fee, a boost to the platform that Yahoo bought in 2005, which will allow users to host longer video clips and higher resolution photos. Adding to the attraction, a new Flickr app has been launched for Android devices. Apple Chief Executive Tim Cook testified last week before the U.S. Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations on accusations that Apple has avoided paying U.S. taxes on billions of U.S. dollars in profits. Mr. Cook highlighted in his testimony that Apple has paid roughly $6 billion to the U.S. Treasury last year, a tax rate of about 30%. Earlier in the week, Subcommittee Chairman Carl Levin had said that Apple has used what it termed a complex web of offshore entities to avoid paying taxes in the U.S., saying that it sought the holy grail of tax avoidance. But despite this, there is no indication that the firm has acted illegally. Subcommittee member John McCain said that although he believed the actions taken by Apple to be legal, he asked whether Apple and others may have what he termed an unfair advantage over domestic-based corporations, whereas smaller companies in this country do not have the same ability that Apple does to locate in Ireland or other countries overseas with better corporate tax rates, according to Mr. McCain. According to Senate statements, Apple reportedly has available cash of roughly $145 billion, of which $102 billion is held outside of the U.S. Mr. Cook countered the accusations of subcommittee members, saying that it holds substantial foreign cash because it sells the majority of its products outside of the U.S., and those earnings are taxed in the jurisdictions where the funds are earned. With unemployment still high and wages largely flat, not only in the U.S. but elsewhere, and particularly in Europe, it is expected that tax avoidance issues will be a top topic among G8 member countries meeting at their summit in June. British Prime Minister David Cameron, who now leads the G8 under its rotating presidency, expressed in a January speech at Davos, and most recently in a May 20th letter to countries considered by the UK to be tax havens, that he expects multinational assistance with efforts to address tax avoidance. With the Motion Picture Association having won a court order last month, larger internet service providers, or ISPs in the UK, have begun blocking access to the Movie2K and Download For All websites. The court action and subsequent block by net firms brings the total to 6, the number of sites that music and movie industry firms have compelled UK ISPs to stop their customers from reaching. It is expected that the UK's largest ISPs, including BT, Virgin, TalkTalk, Sky, and Everything Everywhere, will or have already complied. In February, UK ISPs had been told to cut off access to 3 sites, Kickass Torrents, H33T, and Fenapy, and prior to that, Pirate Bay had been added to the list. The latest actions come some 2 months after the UK telecommunications regulator Ofcom released its online copyright infringement tracker Wave 2 study, in which Ofcom detailed that roughly 47% of the UK internet users claimed to be unable to confidently identify whether the online content that they downloaded, streamed, or shared is legal or not. Ofcom's gathering of independent data is a necessary step toward the ultimate but much delayed full realization in 2014 of anti-piracy provisions in the Digital Economy Act, which itself was approved in 2010. The Digital Economy Act provisions require ISPs to issue notification letters to their customers when pirate activity is detected on their accounts. Users who fail to heed the warnings could face escalating service restrictions and or court action by rights holders. The Wave 2 data also highlighted that roughly 22% of respondents felt that a notification letter threatening to potentially suspend user internet access would in fact put the user off pirating behavior. Repeated statistical surveys by Ofcom will attempt to gauge how the provisions of the Digital Economy Act are working to address issues of online piracy. On April 10th of this year, officials from the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative addressed a Washington audience of American and European government officials and stakeholders as part of a 2-day U.S.-European Union high-level regulatory cooperation forum. The forum provided the first public opportunity for concerns relating to a wide spectrum of trade sectors to be aired since the USTR's formal March 20th announcement to Congress that it intended to seek negotiations with Europe toward a transatlantic trade and investment partnership, or TTIP. In the 90-day consultation period, which began with the March 20th notification to Congress, the USTR has also solicited comments from all interested parties wanting to weigh in on potential sectors, issues, and other concerns potentially to be addressed in the TTIP. USTR accepted comments through May 10th of this year, and the 378 comments received cover a vast spectrum of issues, including the reduction or elimination of tariffs or non-tariff barriers and their respective economic impacts, potential approaches to tariff negotiations, adequacy of existing customs measures, appropriate rules of origin for goods entering the U.S., opportunities for greater transatlantic regulatory compatibility, and opportunities to reduce costs and administrative delays due to regulatory differences. These and other elements of the comments received on the proposed TTIP will be discussed at a public meeting hosted by the USTR this week in Washington, D.C. The hearing will take place on May 29th and 30th, beginning at 9:30 a.m. at the U.S. International Trade Commission. In late April, the European Commission launched a public consultation to seek industry and other advice on preparing for what it termed a fully converged audiovisual world, capitalizing on European growth, creation, and values. Citing that current disparate debates throughout Europe could result in a patchwork of different rules across the EU, dampening market growth and limiting consumer access options to a diverse array of content, the European Commission is hoping to streamline rules that could be applicable to both traditional broadcasters and online new media content distributors. The aim of the consultation is in part to help EU broadcasters to be more competitive with international companies, especially those based in the US, and to promote common standards so that users can access digital content from anywhere in the EU. Key also to the Commission will be the question as to whether any public regulation would be necessary in order to help foster an open and diverse new media broadcasting sector and preserve development and growth of European cultural content. The Commission will be accepting comments on these and other issues addressed in its consultation paper through the close of August 2013. Japan-based mobile carrier SoftBank has agreed to give the U.S. government the right to approve one of the members that SoftBank would appoint to the board of Sprint, should SoftBank's bid to acquire the U.S. telecom company go through. The U.S.-approved board member would ostensibly make sure that a SoftBank-owned Sprint would honor any security agreement hammered out with U.S. regulators to address potential national security concerns with the proposed deal. In January, the U.S. Department of Justice asked the Federal Communications Commission to defer consideration of the deal, citing a review of national security concerns. More recently in March, House Intelligence Subcommittee Chairman Mike Rogers of Michigan noted his understanding that Sprint, Nextel, and SoftBank had pledged not to incorporate Huawei technologies into Sprint's network in response to potential concerns regarding the Chinese equipment manufacturer. In a statement, Chairman Rogers said that he was pleased with these mitigation plans, but that he would continue to look for other opportunities to thoroughly review all national security aspects of the deal. Reuters, The Wall Street Journal, and CNET have each reported on Sprint's May 1st filing with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, in which it proposed the U.S. approval of a SoftBank director. This latest move comes just a month after U.S.-based Dish Networks made a rival surprise bid for Sprint of $25.5 billion versus SoftBank's $20.1 billion offer. News Corp has announced that it will break up its publishing and entertainment businesses into two separate entities on June 28th. The publishing business will retain ownership of newspaper titles, including the Wall Street Journal and Times newspapers in the UK, under the News Corp brand. TV and film businesses, including Fox News, 20th Century Fox, Sky Deutschland, Sky Italia, and stakes in BSkyB and Tata Sky will be under the renamed 21st Century Fox. Both entities will be headed by the current chairman and CEO, Rupert Murdoch. You have been listening to 40A&M in 5, a production of 40A&M LLC. For more information, visit 40a-m.com. All stories for this week's podcast were reported by at least two online or print news sources, or taken directly from relevant releases. We'll be back with you on Monday, June 3rd. Until then, make this week one to remember, and bye for now.